Text 20 through 30, so I'll read the first one. So. Text beforehand. Surrounded by the herd's other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikuta Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquor dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers, which was carried from the lake by the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates, who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake. The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then with the aid of his trunk, he drank the cold, clear, nectarine water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied. Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. By the arrangement of Providence, O King, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong, and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by Providence. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind. O King, the elephant and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing this fight, the demigods were surprised. So, text 30, which is on the board. Tato Gajendrasya Mano Balaujasam Kalena Dhirghena Mahan Abhud Vyayaha Vrikrishyamanasya Jale Vasidato Viparyayo Bhut Shakalam Jalaukasha Tato Gajendrasya Mano Balaujasam Kalena Dhirghena Mahan Adbhut Vyaya Vikrishyamanasya Jale Vasidato Viparyayo Bhut Shakalam Jalaukasha Tataha Thereafter Gaja Indrasya of the king of the elephants. Manaha of the strength of enthusiasm. Bala, the physical strength. Ojasam, the strength of the senses. Kalena, because of years of fighting. Dirghena, prolonged. Mahan, great. Abhut, became. Vyayaha, the expenditure. Vrikshyamanasya, who was being pulled by the crocodile. Jale, into the water. A foreign place. Avasidata, reduced mental, physical, and sensory strength. Viparyayaha, the opposite. Abhut, became. Sakalam, all of them. Jala Okasha, the crocodile, whose home is the water. Translation. Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. Purport. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place, in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy, in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone, and therefore there are divisions of varnashrama: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Ashramedham galavam gavalambham sannyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutot patim kalau pancha vivarjayet, Brahma Vaivarta Purana. From this we can understand that in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do, and at the same time one can be a Grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended Stane Stita Shrutigatam Tano Van Manobhi. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength. But one should not give up the fighting and go away. So the goal of human life is to develop love for Krishna. And this is the purpose. There's no other purpose in life. So, the living entity by nature is tatastha. The living entity is in a middle position between having love for Krishna and having attraction to this material world. That is the Tathasta position. But the natural position of the soul is to have love for Krishna. So now this position of Tathasta, that is liberation. And from this position, then one can get to the platform of prema. So we see that there's two parts here. One is actually gaining an attraction for Krishna, because in the liberated position, one can also not be attracted to Krishna. One can take evidence by how many living entities are in the material world. Is that Krishna is there, and we're not loving him to the point that we won't leave him. So we are here in this world. So that position of liberation is not steady. It is not a strong position. From that position, one can get attracted to Maya if one doesn't get attracted to Krishna. You have to be attracted to something. The living entity must be active. They must have attraction, they must have attachment, and they must have endeavor. Otherwise, they're not a living entity. So, then, it's going to be Krishna or Maya. This is the choice. So, as long as there's attachment or attraction to Maya, that means our attraction and attachment to Krishna and our endeavor for Krishna will not be complete. So pure unalloyed devotion means complete attraction and attachment to Krishna. Right? One's endeavors is completely for Krishna. So one is trying to get to that position. So that means we have to become freed from the material attractions. We must give up all attractions of this material world. We must be completely freed from that. So that position of being freed is liberation. And then we can become attracted to Krishna. So two things are going on simultaneously. One is becoming freed from the material attraction and becoming liberated from material existence. And the other is becoming attracted to Krishna. And of these two, becoming attracted to Krishna is the most important. Therefore, the emphasis is always on these principles that will free one from the material energy only for the purpose of developing love for Krishna. So that developing love for Krishna, that is the emphasis. Now, if we look, what is it that binds us to this material world? What does this mean, this material attraction? If we've come down from the liberated platform, this means that we have become conditioned. Conditioned means a gross body and a subtle body. And this gross and subtle body, that is who we identify with. It's through this, we are attracted to this conditioning, and through this particular conditioning, we view the material world, and we become attracted, and we become attached, and we endeavor for all these things in this material world. So then, Srila Prabhupada's saying here is that in this fight against Maya, then we must become free from Maya. We must be free from this crocodile that has got a hold of our leg. So that means we have to become liberated. So now, what is this process of liberation? So since we will not on the spot just surrender to Krishna and become as pure unalloyed devotee, then we must engage ourselves in our conditioned nature. We must understand the conditioned nature. We must understand who we are. Understand means who we are, means who this gross and subtle identity is. We must understand who we are as the soul, and then how to engage this gross and subtle conditioning in the proper mentality in Krishna's service. This is what we are trying to do. This is the process. So then here the Varnashram system is given. The Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, then Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These things we are trying to understand. So now in this, it doesn't matter what one uses. This is a very important thing. If you're interested in staying in the material world, then of course, one is better than the other. But if one's not interested in staying in the material world, it doesn't matter what you use, which varna, which ashram is used in Krishna's service. It doesn't matter. Because the whole idea is you're going to engage your conditioned nature in Krishna's service, whatever it is. We cannot change the conditioned nature. You can purify the conditioned nature, but one cannot change it. right? Just like if one is, one cannot change it. It will be there. The mind will be the way it is. The intelligence, ego, the body, the senses. But what one can do is purify them and engage them in the Lord's service. Unpurified, they're a problem. Purified and engaged in Krishna's service, they're not a problem. So it doesn't matter what is being engaged. So one has to step back, understand one's the soul, and then look at the conditioned nature from a detached point of view. Then understanding, I have this kind of nature, it is best situated in this way, then see, okay, then how do we engage this in Krishna's service? As Manu has pointed out in the previous chapter, is that the rules of the Dharma, or this Varnashram system, are simply so the living entity can engage his conditioned nature, whatever it is, in the Lord's service. The Lord comes, performs his activities, and it's according to Varnashram. So he comes here, and in a detached way performs the duties of Varnashram. So he's expecting that we will do the same. And a devotee who does the same is like the Lord, freed from the material energy. That's the whole idea. Is that if we act like the Lord acts, in other words, engaging properly in the activities that the Lord has given us to do without attachment, we become liberated. So that frees us here. So that is what's being there. Of course, on top of this, then most important is cultivating those activities alongside with this, to develop our love for Krishna, how we are chanting, the association we are chanting in, worship of the deity, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, living in the holy Dham. In other words, trying to develop that devotion to Krishna. Because that's a different thing, right? We just desire. In this material world, then there must be this endeavor. You do this, you get this result, right? Spiritual world's the same, but it's much more subtle. You simply, here we desire, and then you have to go through all this endeavor, and then we find ourselves getting some result. But the spiritual platform, it also begins with desire. So unless we desire to develop love for Krishna, then how is it going to move in that direction? How will it happen? It has to happen. It means liberation's not enough. Just to get out of this material world is not enough. Prabhupada doesn't say, become liberate. He mentions it, perfection of human life, this, that. But then you'll always see him mention ultimate liberation, ultimate perfection. So he says, going back home, back to Godhead. So that means going back with Krishna. So we have to have an attraction for Krishna. So we have to desire it. We have to want this. So that should be going on. Is along with performing our activities that free us from the material energy. We have to be wanting to develop love for Krishna. Otherwise, being freed is not enough. Then you come back to tatastha, and that's not good enough. Right? Because one can fall from there. But if you develop love for Krishna, one cannot fall. So one has to cross liberate. We have to cross the material world. We have to cross the Brahma Jyoti. We have to get into the spiritual planets. And we will only get there if we develop love for Krishna. So this is what we are trying to do. So then Prabhupada points out here, then one situates yourself. Now this is the interesting point. It doesn't matter which position you put yourself in, right? But you follow what is the rules of that ashram. So here he has mentioned that it's not important that everyone takes sannyas. Or those who have taken sannyas, if they can't maintain it, then we can see here that then they should go to the grihastha ashram. Because for us, we're not interested in the pap or punya of these various varnas and ashrams. Those come automatically. They come on the side, right? It's not asked for. We are trying to use something in Krishna's service that will liberate us. And that during those activities that we're not engaged in Maya, but in Krishna's service, we might think, I want to develop love for Krishna. I would like to do this to please Krishna. So, therefore, it doesn't matter the position. But one must always keep this goal in mind. sometimes we think, oh, we're grihasthas, it doesn't matter, this and that, you know. Don't be fanatic. But that's not the point. The point is that whatever the position, it's used. Whatever the facilities, whatever the allowances or not allowances, those are to be engaged in Krishna service. So here, sexual indulgence is also to be engaged in Krishna service, according to his direction. Then it gives very good result. One gets very Krishna conscious children. And then one also gets to see that, you know, what everybody talks about, that this is the best thing happening in this place, is not as happening as people say it is. So many advantages are there. So then the whole idea is that one must be engaged. It doesn't matter the position. If one is so worried about the fruits of it, then of course, then the social strata, the social position, oh, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya, or I'm a Sannyasi, or I'm a Grihastha, and this one is this, and that one's that, and this one's no good, and that one's worse. Then, yeah, but that's our ego. That is our ego. It's nothing spiritual. From the transcendental platform, there's no difference. Here we're hearing a story in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam about an elephant. Right? We're not even talking about some, you know, tribal of some, you know, human form of life. Right? We're not talking about those who are not following Vedic culture. We're talking about an elephant. Right? And, you know, the elephant is out having a good time with his family, you know. They go, you know, you go to the lake and you swim and splash and all this. This is what he's doing, right? And he was having a good time. Then suddenly this crocodile grabs his leg and his time is not so good, right? It's the atmosphere changed, you know. It's time to pack up and go home. But unfortunately the crocodile has his leg and is not... it's not a negotiable position that, okay, you give me my leg back and we'll leave you alone. No, it's that he's decided that Gajendra is lunch, right? That's why he's so enthusiastic, right? We've already pointed out how big Gajendra is, right? Lions are not afraid of elephants. They're generally cautious because they can get stepped on, right? A lion who's stepped on by an elephant is not in a good position, right? But a lion can kill an elephant, like that. Some endeavor, but they can do it. But here, these lions and that don't even bother going around, right? They just smell them from a distance and they stay their respectful distance, out of respect, not out of fear, because they know he's not going to bother them, like that. He's a very noble elephant. But at the same time, as you can see how big he is, that the lions are also not even going to bother. Not only that, when he walks, the Trikuta mountain shakes. Trikuta mountain is 88,000 miles high. So it's a big mountain, not small. So he's a quite big elephant. So you can just imagine, you know. Just like, you know, you have a 5-year-old kid and a 3-foot, you know, samosa. You know, it's like no question they're going to let that one get by, you know. So here the crocodile is becoming more and more enthusiastic, because the more weaker and weaker Gajendra gets, the closer and closer his meal is becoming. So he's becoming more enthused. We see here the word mana, the strength of enthusiasm. So enthusiasm is simply from the mind. The mind sees the desire will get fulfilled, or a desire has been fulfilled, it becomes enthusiastic. Right? And if it's not being fulfilled, it becomes dull, weak. Therefore, it doesn't matter what is the ashram or what is the varna, because the conditioned nature will be enthusiastic in a certain condition and not enthusiastic in another. So we want to be strong, enthusiastic for Krishna. So whatever one's material desires are, then if those are being fulfilled in connection with Krishna, then one is happy, one is enthusiastic. So therefore it doesn't matter. The important thing is it engaged in Krishna's service. Right? Otherwise, varnashram not engaged in Krishna's service is useless. It's human, but what's the use of being human if you don't become Krishna conscious? Right? And if you don't follow varnashram, then subhuman, what's the use of that if you don't become Krishna conscious? or here at Gajendra, he's an elephant. What's the use of that if he doesn't become Krishna conscious? So in any case, the whole idea is one becomes enthusiastic because the senses are being satisfied, the desires are being satisfied, so the whole Varnashram system gives that. But its only purpose is that we're enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Because what we're going to do in those varnas and ashrams is serve Krishna. So that's the whole purpose that is being given here. Yeah. And whatever the one should continue. Many times you think, oh, I can't do this, this, that. You just adjust the situation that is favorable and continue. That's the point. When the process must go on, like that. So one adjusts so that one is able to perform the process, whatever situation. That's the main thing. Because a living entity doesn't belong here. A living entity belongs with Krishna. So by becoming purified, then we can get out of this place. And by proper association, proper endeavor, then we can develop our love for Krishna. This is what we are trying to do. Something small. Any other questions, comments?
You said we can't change the nature. We can only purify it. So if your nature is to enjoy the senses, then we have to change that. We're supposed to change it.
Hmm. The nature isn't to enjoy the senses. That's a detail. The nature is to be active. And activity means engaging senses. In the spiritual platform, you have spiritual senses. In the material platform, you have material senses. So the natural thing is love. But that love, that means service. You want to please someone. So it's become perverted in this material world into lust. We want to please ourselves. So it's not actually the senses. It's that the mind wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to be satisfied. So it uses the senses for getting that. It also sometimes uses the intelligence. It uses the body. So it uses so many things. But specifically the senses, because they give the most reaction, because of passion. So the senses, when they're purified and the senses are engaged in Krishna's service, then there's no problem. The tongue is tasting prasad, the eyes are seeing the deity, the feet are walking to the temple, like this. Then that enjoyment one gets from those senses is not polluting, it's purifying. Like that. So one will be freed from the material energy. Right? By taking prasad, then one becomes freed from the material contamination. Right? You appreciate the taste, this and that, then one becomes freed. But now, more direct is that you appreciate that this is Krishna's prasad, and that it's non-different from Him, so that taste is Krishna. That will give you prema. But taking the prasad and engaging the senses in Krishna's service, that will give you liberation. So we begin from there because we're used to the body, so we engage the body. Then after a while we start, to become aware of the subtle body. Then eventually we become aware that we're not either of those two. Right? And then we can come to that platform of, and that Krishna is the actual source of all happiness. He is actually what we're looking for. Because we're trying to become happy, but we're trying to do it without Krishna. So we don't even understand that the power of the senses, the sense objects, everything here is attractive because it is made by Krishna. So it has the same form as Krishna. And Krishna has entered it as the Virat Purush. So actually it's Krishna that's attractive, but we don't think so. We think it's the external. So we start with the external. Engaging the body and all that in all the different activities, following all the, the duties of Varnashram, and all this, and then we think, yes, I'm very pukka, I'm a good, that's good, that's the platform, that's the human life. But we have to go beyond it. We have to see, well, what's the mentality? Then we have to see, do we understand that we're not the body? Can we tell the difference between matter and spirit? But ultimately, is that we're servant of Krishna. We have to get to that level. Otherwise, then we waste our time. right? Therefore, even though it's recommended that, you know, human life begins at Varnashram, if you do that and then feel that this is now perfection, this is Asmarta, then we'll say that's wrong. That doesn't mean we're saying anything bad about Varnashram. We're just saying it's not the ultimate goal. That doesn't mean it's bad. Just like in cooking, you need a fire and a pot. But that's not the ultimate goal, is to get a fire and pot on together. And then it's perfection. No, it's to cook what's in the pot and get it, you know, on some place, offer it to the Lord, and then distribute that to the Vaishnava. That's the goal. It doesn't mean the pot's not used. One can say, oh yes, you know, this Varnashram, we'll throw it out. Okay, you go ahead and you cook your subjects, you know, without the pot and the fire. You know? You can try. It won't be so sophisticated, but that's the meaning. Varnashram is human life. Anything other than Varnashram is tribal life. It's one of the 12 tribes or lower. So it's outside of human life. You can try, of course. Gajendra is an animal. He became perfect. Right? So even one is, you know, whatever. One can become perfect from that position. But it's just recommended that for humans it's much easier to go through, you know, human activities than subhuman. Like that. It's much easier to notice the subtleties and to not get caught up in the passion and ignorance. Right? Desire for sense gratification is ignorance. To endeavor for it is passion. Right? But then to situate oneself in knowledge is goodness. So we can see goodness is a better position than passion or ignorance. But goodness or knowledge itself still is not the goal. Liberation, you know, going beyond Varnashram, liberation still isn't the goal. Right? It still is not. Okay, we've cooked the preparation. We have the nice subject. Then if we just let it sit there and rot, what's the use? It has to be offered and distributed. That's the goal. So then, you know, that's all. So you see, yeah. Does that make it okay? 1 second. Yeah, question. Yeah.
We were talking about finding our own position. And since that in Kali Yuga it is really difficult to find the person by himself find his own position. It's like it's really difficult. So how that we don't, should we find our own position, or should we get advice from Guru or Sadhu Sangha? What is our own position?
So these three must be there. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We read the Shastra, then we understand what's there. We hear from Guru and we hear from the Sadhus. Then we take that and we have an understanding, then we apply it. And then by perception, we can see if it's working. And when we apply it, then others also see, yes, it's good, it's not good.
I have one boy at the group that tells me, yes, I want to find my own position, and I went to the Bhagavad Gita and look what the Kshatriyas do, what the Vaishyas do, what the Brahmanas do. What is their normal activities and their mentality? And it seems like I have a bit of everything. So what should I do? What is my own position? Am I everything or am I...
No, it means you're only going to make your living by one of them. The point is that all of them are there. It's just like, give a different example. Like process. Okay, this age is, the process is chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore, in this age, we never do any kind of yajnas, right? When we have an initiation or deity installation, we never do a yajna, right? Because this is Kali Yuga, right? We never think about the Lord and concentrate on the Lord because this is not Satya Yuga, right? And of course, deity worship we don't do because it's Kali Yuga, right? No, it's where the emphasis is. So all those things, everybody is studying and gaining some knowledge. Everybody's teaching, right? A mother's teaching the child. A carpenter's teaching his son or someone else. You know, the Vaishya's teaching his people his salesperson's how to do, or teaching his son. Kshatriya's teaching, you know, the duties of it. So everybody's teaching. Everybody's studying, right? But it's just what and who they're teaching. everybody has to do some administration. You know, take care of the finances and this and that, right? Everyone has to protect, right? The man's in his house, you know, and a dog comes inside, then they'll just say, no, call the king, you know. I'm not the king, so I don't get the dog out of the house. Like that, you know. Everybody must create some kind of economic development, right? Like that, try to increase. Everyone's engaged in art. Means you read about it, when you apply it, it's art, right? Means the shastra is that this weapon with this mantra will give this effect, and it's countered by another mantra and another, right? But how you hold that arrow, how you shoot that arrow, the timing that you do it, it's not that you can do it, okay, if this weapon is coming, you know, a wind weapon is coming, you shoot a mountain weapon. Okay, so the wind weapon is coming. You have 5 hours in which you can, you know, get around and look for your book. And I knew I had a mountain weapon here somewhere, like that. And by the way, did someone see my bow? You know, it's like, you know, you have a moment. So that's art. That's coming by practice. You just sit out there and shoot arrows so many times, right? Like Arjuna. Every day you eat since you've been a small kid. And somehow or another, amazingly, without looking, the hand goes in the mouth and knows where it is. So when the light went off, then he understood. Yes, I can shoot wherever I want because I've shot so much. I just know where the target is. It's not that I have to see it. I know where it is. You know, by so many ways. Like that. So then, it's habit. That's art. Sitting there for a kshatriya and spending all day shooting bows and arrows is an art. Otherwise, how is it that the Nishada, Ekalavya, became so expert? Because it's an art. And so it's an art, just like the art of warfare, right? It's not like that. But it's based on science. So that's the thing, is that everybody has all those things. But now, how is he going to make his money? Okay, simplest is start from the bottom, right? We're always going to start from the top. Start from the bottom. Okay, is okay, now we take that. Now we just take, okay, I'm sitting here. Now, am I going to raise cows and make my living that way? Or do agriculture or combine those two? Or do business or do banking? Right? Do I know these things that well that I can be confident that I'm going to make my living? Whatever I want. Okay, maybe I could do it. You know, I could get 1 rupee a day out of doing some business, but is it enough? Okay, is that my? I only have 1 rupee desire. So if I have 10 rupee desires, I have to find something else. Right? I'm not good enough. Okay, so okay, that's one. I'm going to do that. Or, okay, am I going to administrate things, protect all the people? You know, in some area, that they can do all these things to generate all the economics and all the social things that are going on, all the training and that, and I'm going to make sure that everybody's taken care of so that they have the facility to do their activities. I'm going to make sure that they're all performing their dharma. I know dharma, so I know if they're doing it or not. And I'm not only that, I'm going to take tax from those who are generating economic development, and I'm going to give in charity to the Brahmins, and I'm going to take care of all the people that have to help me to run the administration. I'm going to give them all facilities. Right? Or, if that doesn't seem to fit, then you look at it. Okay, am I going to study all day, teach all day, do puja all day, go out and preach all day, you know, or do yajnas or some kind of activity like this, and be completely satisfied whatever anyone gives. I'm never going to ask for anything. If it's too bad, I may beg. But you know how much you get when you beg. I'm going to be perfectly satisfied with that, because for me, teaching or preaching or puja or, you know, study, these are more important. I don't have time for economic development. I don't have time to get involved in politics and management. I don't have time for, you know, sitting around all day and, you know, doing some, you know, build a cabinet or something, you know, and then get some. I don't have time. I have more important things. These are more important. I'd rather fast than do that. I'd rather not have a house over my head than do that. You know? Plus, you know, there is no security in money. in influence, you know, in position, nothing. Money's gone, everything's gone. I heard of yesterday, a bank, they advertise you can take it with you, right? Because they have a facility that in your next life you can prove that you were the one in this life that made the account, they'll give you the money. Right? Fat chance, but good advertisement. You know? So there is some hope. One bank has worked out how you can take it with you. Right? So the whole idea is that they're not worried about that. So security, this and that, is not an issue for them. Because they know it's gone here today, gone tomorrow anyway. So whether it disappears in one day, in 10 days, in 10 years, or a lifetime, it's nothing. So why endeavor? So now if these three hats don't fit, then you're home free. You know, it's worked out for you. Now it's just which art and who you're going to help. Right? Best is you help Brahmins. That's the best. So you help in the teaching, the preaching, the deity worship, like that. That's the first option for an artist. If you can't do that, then assist Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. If you can't do that, then trade. Trade means, no, not trade, means craft. So it's actually a very simple process. The problem is the ego gets in the way. That the only problem in establishing Varnashram is only that one thing, is ego. There's no other. It's such a simple, it's going on anyway in the world. But it's not organized efficiently. So therefore people take things that they shouldn't, go over the borders, harass each other. So culturally it's weak. But other, you can't get, the people fit into these four. You can't not. Or they can be below that, of course. But the only thing that stops it is ego. That's it. Otherwise, businessmen are already doing business. Right? We have devotees making plenty of money. They're not waiting around for like that. You know, managers are managing. You know, others are doing their thing. It's going on. So if you're not doing those three, then the fourth is there. But the point is it doesn't matter for Krishna consciousness. For Krishna consciousness, whatever it is, you just do that for Krishna, you go back to Godhead. It doesn't matter. Because the point is why in the Varnashram system, the ordinary Varnashram system, is a Shudra on the bottom? Because Shudra isn't interested in spiritual life. Right? He's interested in his art, in his mind, in his fame, you know, in his senses, in his emotions. That's his, what he's interested in. Right? Vaishya is interested in economic development. Kshatriya is interested in his dharma and power and influence. Brahman's interested in Brahman. So moksha is higher than dharma artha kama. Dharma, the Kshatriya's value, is higher than artha and kama. Artha is higher than kama. Right? So therefore kama is on the bottom. But if one is a devotee, then one is more than a Brahman, because you're interested not in Brahman, you're interested in the Parabrahman. So that's your consciousness. So in the normal Varnashram system, it's put up like this because of consciousness. So if your consciousness is on the transcendental level, there's no problem. You know? But the duty, the conditioned nature is not us. So what's wrong if the conditioned nature is there? We're complaining that we're eating? Are we complaining we're sleeping? Are we complaining we're going to the toilet? Right? It's ever come up. Anybody's put before the GBC that such a hassle is going on. We're wasting so much time sleeping in this movement. We could do double the work if everybody just stopped sleeping. So they should make a GBC resolution. Nobody should sleep. Anybody's brought it up? No. Because we accept the conditioned nature, that's the way it is. So why can't we just accept What is its occupational and social standard? Right? I have a flower here. Okay, so I can build a house out of these? I want to build a big building like this. Right? Can I build with this? No, I need rocks. But now if you have a rock and you have a flower, which one is nicer? Right? The flower smells better, looks better. I can't build a building out of it. The rock is better. So if I want to build a building for Krishna, I could say, oh no, let's do it flat. It won't happen. You do it with the rocks. So the rocks are engaged in Krishna's service. That is perfect. So it's our conditioning that this is good, that's bad. If one thing's good, something must be bad. So therefore, we only want to be good because of our false ego. That's why in this age, also Varnashram is not the means of perfection. Without Krishna consciousness, without chanting and Pancharatra, there's no question of Varnashram working and giving any result in this age. But it's a useful tool along with Pancharatra and along with the chanting. It supports. In other ages, they could perfect themselves in Varnashram. Right? And that's where human life starts. Therefore, Ramananda Rai starts with Varnashram. Lord Chaitanya says, what is the perfection? He says, Varnashram. It is a perfection. You follow it, you can get liberated. You follow it properly, you can go to Vaikuntha. You know, if you know these rules and everything come from there, it'll go. But in this age, it won't go. Not only that, Lord Chaitanya wants to go beyond that. So he rejected it as the ultimate goal. He didn't reject it as a process to follow. This many make a mistake. Oh, Lord Chaitanya rejected that. Oh. So then at that moment he gave up sannyas, right? And just became a Paramahamsa Babaji. And Ramananda Rai gave up being a Shudra. Right? On that moment they gave it up. No, they still followed it. But as an ultimate goal, it's not. So if we can get over this and just see, this is how it works. Right? It's really good. I put the table down like that. On top of the table, I put the cloth. On top of that, I put the book stand. On top of that, then I put the book. Okay? And I put the cloth. Now, if I put this cloth on top of the book, it's not very efficient. Well, no, the cloth is so nice. It's fine. It's all this. You know, why I have to be on the bottom? I want to be on the top. You know, why he always is on the top? I want to be on the top. You know? Okay, it's okay if you want the book to be covered up and not get dust, great. But if you want to read the book, the cloth has to be on the bottom, the book on the top. You know, like that. So, it's just the way it is. It's the way material energy works. Well, what do we care? It's not us. You know, you got to put the food in your mouth. No, I'd rather rub it on the top of my head. You know, the little kids, you know, it's best dribbling down the chin, right? Gets absorbed through the navel. By some mystic process. Right? That's to them. But, you know, their mother teaches them, well, very nice, it's a good concept, but in the mouth. Right? Like that. So, like that. Kid wants to eat everything. Anything it sees goes in the mouth. Right? But, you know, with time, either they learn or the mother shows them that, no, these things go in your mouth, these things don't go in your mouth. Right? Microphone will go in any kid's mouth. Right? But it has more efficient to use it in Krishna's service as a microphone rather than something for the kid to suck on. Right? You know, it could be used. The kids could suck on it. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's probably good. But a little big, but, you know, fun. So that's the whole thing, is you just see this is the way it is, and just that's so it's not me. So what do I care? Right? All I care is that I engage in Krishna's service. I got to engage something. So since I'm not thinking of Krishna 100% of the time, that means the mind is somewhere else than Krishna. It must be in the material world. Where is it going to be? It's going to be in the senses. It's going to be in the body. It's going to be in some social standing. It's going to be in something. Money, this, that, security, protection, maintenance, something. Right? So there, let me take it. Okay, it's in the senses. Okay, take that sense. Okay, engage that Krishna service. Oh, and then social position. Okay, take that. Put that in Krishna's service. You know, like that. Oh, I'm tired. Okay, use that in Krishna's service. So all you do is catch all the things that the mind finds that are anything to do besides Krishna. And catch it and just engage in Krishna's service. Then it becomes perfect. So it doesn't matter what you're using. Right? Means of it doesn't matter means within what Krishna gives is the best way to do it. So the best is use Krishna's system. Right? That's the best. And if not, you use another system that you call your own, But if you actually look at it, it's not, because Krishna created the 8,400,000 species. And that's all the mentalities they are. So we say, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm different. Well, it's either human or not human. Right? And if you like Varnashram, it's human. You don't like, it's non-human. So I'm non-human. Okay, then we have 8 million different varieties. It's big. It's bigger than 400,000. But still, we didn't create it. That our mind is thinking in this way, we didn't create. Krishna created it. So we're not going to get away from Krishna. So all this uniqueness, I'm special, I'm this, I'm that, okay. But engage that in Krishna service. Like that. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Process is simple, we make it complicated. That's the thing. What time is it now? Oh, okay. So then we'll end here. Grantulaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jayanita Gaurakina.